Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York Knicks. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 2 hours until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. A little bit of Jameis Winston. A lot of St. John's to start the day as we say goodbye to the St. John's Red Storm. The tournament is on its way to the Sweet 16 next Thursday. Mostly chalk. Not a lot of great games. I think it's been kind of a dud of a tournament, to be honest with you. I know the Maryland game last night as I'm driving in, of course. They have that game. Actually, no, I wasn't driving in. I was doing a fantasy draft. That's what I was doing. That's right. That's why I missed it. I was stupid. With Evan and the fantasy draft last night, which I'm telling you, even Evan, I mean, the guy is just, the guy can't do pizza, and he has no idea when the hell to inform people of the start time. We're in this fantasy league, right? Evan's baseball fantasy league. It's been a big deal. We've been doing it for, I don't know, probably close to 12 years now, 13, 14, 15 years. It's been a long time. All right, Evan's big baseball fantasy team. Nobody knows what time the draft is. It's supposed, I thought it was at 9, then the most recent text 2 days ago says 7:30 the draft board will open, or the room will open. And everyone's like, 7:30? Well, it opens at 7:30, starts at 8. Like, oh, I thought it started at 9. No, 8. Half the people aren't there at 8 o'clock. Loogie's not there at 8 o'clock. Another kid, Mike Hadassi, who worked here for years, a long time ago, he's not there at 8 o'clock. Nobody's there. I'm told, I partner with Mons, obviously former producer Mike and the Mad Dog, not Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike Francesa. Obviously worked at the station here forever. He tells me, hey, don't worry about the first couple picks. We worked out a trade. It just can't get announced until after the first round, but don't worry about it. We don't have a first-round pick, and I'm trading away the second, third, and fourth, or whatever. We were supposed to get Juan Soto, believe it or not. There for all you haters. I was trading for Juan Soto, even after the stupid comments he made to Sports Illustrated. We're trading for Juan Soto. Don't worry about it. Okay, so I half show up. I put the Zoom on. I'm not paying attention. My feet are up. My wife's gonna, you know, wants to watch White Lotus. We can't go a day without watching White Lotus. Everyone at work talks about it. Chris, I can't just not watch it. So we got to watch it tonight. So I'm like half doing the draft. I have my headphones on. I'm watching White Lotus. I'm half paying attention. All of a sudden, I get the text, trades off. We picking three. I'm like, what do you mean trades off? Now our whole team's different. What we thought we needed, we don't need because we're not trading it away. And half the people aren't there to start the draft. Nothing works. I think it was a disaster of a draft. Disaster. The only cool part about it was Tiki was on the pod. Tiki was there. I was on a Zoom and I'm in a fantasy draft with Tiki Barber. I got to tell everybody I know that. I was just like, what is going on? I'm missing the basketball games because my wife is, I'm trying to pay attention to it on my other TV. I'm doing the fantasy draft. I'm scrambling now because my team looks completely different than what it was supposed to look like. Half the people aren't there. I don't know when the picks are coming. And I'm watching White Lotus, which, to be totally honest with you, I don't even like. My wife loves the damn show. I don't even like. People are obsessed with it. Marash is saying throughout the whole draft, can we wrap it up? I want to start White Lotus soon. It's a weird show, and this season is weird. And I don't even want to get into what's going on with that show. because I have an older brother. I don't even want to get into what's going on with White Lotus. We saw the end of Severance, which is an excellent show, and the season finale was... I mean, that is... It's one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like, it is that good. The idea of the Severance show is so well thought out, and the ramifications of going in and out of the innie and outie... I know that in and out of the innie and outie, but, like, I don't, for those of you who don't know... If you don't know the premise of the show, shame on you. But the idea is that there's this company that hires you to do a job, and it's so top secret. We find out more about this as the show goes on. But the premise of the show, if you would have started today, company, they do this top secret work where they literally put a chip into your brain, and you're a different person when you go down into the building to do your job. You have no memories of your outside life. You don't know who your parents are. You don't know who your friends are. You don't know if you're married. All you are is the person that's in that office. You have the, you know, same functionality as a human. You can read, you can write, you know things, you know, but you're just you're not yourself. You're another person. And that's the only thing you know. And you go, when you leave the building, you're yourself. You go into work. Next thing you know, you're in the elevator. You snap your finger, you're coming out of the elevator, your day of work is done. You have no memory of what happened for the 8 hours you were at work. That's the premise of the show. Obviously, a lot more to it if you haven't watched it, but the season finale of 2 was awesome. Now I got to find something else to watch besides White Lotus. Ugh. The first season was really good. That's gotten kind of, I don't know. It's just weird. Although they do have some really nice clothing. I'll give them that. I see a lot of Hawaiian shirts I would like to have. But my wife's complaining. Like, last night was tough. One, not to complain, because I love doing the shows, and I'm happy to come on, especially earlier in the night, get more people that call in I can disrespect. And we get a new audience, some people who don't get to hear me. So, but I was doing Keith. I was filling in for Keith last week. So the schedule was a little different. So I worked Friday night. I worked Friday night until 1 o'clock in the morning. I think I worked till one or two. I think it was one. I worked till 1 o'clock in the morning Friday night, Saturday morning. Got home Saturday morning, 2:30. I feel like I didn't even have a weekend. You know, I woke up tired on Saturday, had to do things with the boys. Then I wake up on Sunday. That's kind of, for me, it's like a day of work. I had to prepare for the show, think about things, get ready to come in at night. I'm not going to sleep between waking up Sunday morning. So it was like, typically I have all day Friday, and then I get to relax Friday night, watch TV or something with my wife, have my Friday night martini, feel like I had a weekend. This was a very abrupt weekend. Sunday night, I should just be relaxing with my wife, watching White Lotus while really watching the basketball games. Instead, I had to throw in Evan's fantasy draft, where I thought I wasn't going to have to focus on it for the first half hour because we were making a trade, and then suddenly no trade, where you're picking in two picks. Well, I thought we were going to need outfielders. Now we don't need outfielders. I'm looking at other positions. Very frustrating. Very frustrating evening, I got to tell you. And then White Lotus weirded me out. I don't want to give it away, but brother thing is getting weird. It's already gotten weird. It's beyond weird. It's you can't recover from it. You can't recover from it again. Honestly, if you have a brother, like, you got to just keep your space for a while. If you watch White Lotus, just call you in a week. We'll talk Thursday when the season starts, and the season does start on Thursday. We have made it. Baseball is back, baby. Baseball is back. Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, which I hate the start time. My kids get off the bus at 3. I mean, they get off the bus at 4, rather. I got to find a babysitter to go to the game. It's 1 o'clock was so much better. Next year, put it at 1 again. But the game's at 3 o'clock for the Yankees, 4 o'clock out in Houston for the Mets. And I do just want to talk about the Met rotation again, because a couple things. One, my guy made it. I said from the beginning, or for a while now, it's been at least 2 weeks, McGill should be in the starting rotation. I think he's done enough for this team. I trust him more than I trust Paul Blackburn. I think he's got better stuff than Blackburn. It's just a matter of harnessing it. It's a matter of trusting it, throwing strikes, which is what the Mets have been begging him to do, instead of trying to nibble and get people to swing and miss. Trust your stuff, maybe pitch to a little bit more contact, you know, try and miss the barrel instead of just missing the bat completely. And I think he's had a really good spring, along with every other pitcher the freaking Mets have. And he is in the rotation. He will start game two of the season. The Mets rotation goes Clay Holmes, obviously, Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, David Peterson, Kodai Senga. That's the five right now. Blackburn will be headed to the bullpen. And, of course, hopefully, right around the corner, before the end of April, at the Manaea will come back and be a part of that rotation, and we'll see who gets moved out, or if they'll go to that six-man rotation they've been talking about, which is, I think, what they will do, obviously, with Kodai Senga in it, go to a six-man rotation and add Manaea to it. Now, here's the only thing I'll say, all right? And I don't like to talk up these Yankee Met talking points. I don't, okay? I'm not one of those guys. Occasionally, I will if the Met fan riles me up. I'm not immune to it. But I will say this, and I've been saying it, and I do find it the difference in the fan bases right now and how we view them. Obviously, the Mets offense is far superior to the Yankee offense. Even I would admit that. And I'm excited about the Yankee offense. I am. I think there's a chance, a small chance, but I think there is a chance come June, July, that statement isn't so obvious. I really feel that way. I think the Yankee offense has a chance to be really good if guys come through. I really do. I'm liking more and more what I see from the offense this entire spring. Now, spring training results don't mean much, but Wells at the top of the order hit his fifth home run of the spring, hit two the other night. Like, he has been an absolute beast. Volpe with a couple of home runs. If Volpe makes the jump, Wells is the player he's been in spring training. Jazz, the athleticism, Dominguez, Bellinger, like, obviously Judge, Goldschmidt, Ben Rice, who's been killing it. Like, I honestly think this offense can be dynamic. It's athletic. It's not old, by the way. If I hear another person call this old roster, I'm going to flip out, man. The Yankees roster isn't old. But anyway, the Mets rotation. We know how good the offense is. And I understand that the owner spent a ton of money, just signed this Juan Soto. And not only did he sign him, but he took him away from the New York Yankees. He's made the Mets the destination. Everybody wants to come back. Winker wants to come back. Jose Iglesias, who made the team off his minor league contract in San Diego. He will be a Padre opening day and get a major league contract. He desperately wanted to come back. Alonso wouldn't even consider going anywhere else. They want to be Mets. They want to stay with the Mets. Last year was so special. They've become the point of emphasis. They've become where people want to go. He's given you the statues. He's given you the uniforms. He's given you Old Timers Day. He spent all this money. David Stearns is so smart and brilliant, and I'm not even disputing any of those. I know it's coming out sarcastic. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, I understand. All of those things happen to be accurate. But when I look at this rotation, and I know the Yankee fan is killing the owner for not going all in. Killing him. Not going all in. There's no third baseman. Blah, blah, blah. I don't understand it. What a cheap bastard. Well, Steve Cohen has far more money. He doesn't make as much from the Mets as Hal does from the Yankees, but he's got tons more money. Right now he's paying, what, $15 million more, $20 million more on the payroll? But he's the richest owner in all the sport. And nobody seems to be getting on him for not going all in. And here's the rotation. A converted reliever who is a closer for the Yankees, who lost his position because of ineffectiveness, is your opening day starter. Tyler McGill is your second starter. Griffin Canning is your third starter. David Peterson is your fourth starter. And Kodai Senga, I mean, he's starting the fifth game, but you could put him at the top of the rotation. I'm just going in order of games they're starting. That's the five-man rotation. And I know you could throw in Manaea in there. Holmes, McGill, Canning, Peterson, Senga, and let's throw in Manaea. That's the rotation for the richest owner in baseball. That's the rotation for an owner who's done everything you could have possibly asked him to do. That's an owner who doesn't make bad moves because, you know, when he makes the move, it's the right move and it's perfect. When he doesn't make the move, well, he's a billionaire. He didn't become a billionaire from not making smart business decisions and spending money foolishly. And the rotation worked last year, so it's destined to work this year. And I can't argue that they've pitched incredibly well in spring training. I can't. They have. They pitched incredibly well in spring training. And I like Clay Holmes. And I like Tyler McGill. And Peterson last year was incredible, and his spring seems to indicate that he's doubling down on last year's second half. Now, again, spring is spring. Hitters are working on things. Pitchers are working on things. It's very difficult to go on results. It's all you have, but it's difficult to feel very good about it while clearly they were great in spring. But I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just asking the question. For Met fans, I want to ask you the question. Yankee fans are calling their owner cheap and doesn't care about winning because he didn't add a third baseman. He tried to give Juan Soto $760 million. Klapisch wrote today, as we continue to find reasons to find out why Juan Soto chose the Mets. Like, it's not enough that he chose him. It's not enough that it was, you know, obviously you can't mention the money because God knows it wasn't about the money. Had nothing to do with the money. Now, do I agree when it's all that much money that it wasn't just the money? Absolutely. Was there a reason he chose the Mets? Absolutely. Do I think that he believed in this owner? Absolutely. And that he would be willing to spend more money long term and the Mets might be in a better position than the Yankees? Yeah, I think he might. I think there's a genuine feeling that he might believe that. And it might be true. And I'm sure family played a role, and Bob Klapisch wrote that his mother in particular fell in love with the Cohens, and that was the end of it. Once his mother was like, you're gonna join this group because these are, you know, great people and family people. And I connected with Alex and I think this is where you should play. And once that happened, there was no turning back for Juan Soto. And that's what Bob Klapisch reported today. Maybe that's true. But, I mean, they have bent over backwards. They put out a documentary to try and get away from the idea that Juan Soto picked them for money. I don't know why. Who cares why? Who cares why? It was the most money. Money played a role in it. I'm tired of hearing reasons why. He is a Met. That's it. Plain and simple. Like he was a Yankee last year. Juan Soto is a Met. We don't have to wonder why. We don't have to try and figure out why. We don't need documentaries on why. We don't need constant articles on why. On Thursday, he's just a Met. And we could put all this behind us and not give a damn. But I know he paid for Juan Soto. I know he brought back Pete Alonso. I know he's got the second highest payroll in the sport. I understand it's worlds apart from where the previous ownership group was. Totally understand that. But the New York Yankee owner has spent almost as much money. The New York Yankee owner put a lot of money into Max Fried. He's got a lot of money into Giancarlo Stanton. You could say they misspend the money, but he traded for the NL MVP in 2018. He brought in Cole after the 19 season. He just brought in Fried. He pays Rodon a lot of money. Judge, he paid the biggest contract in the sport before Ohtani. Like, he spent a lot of money and has a lot of stars. And the rotation was supposed to be before all the injuries, the best in the American League, arguably, you know, one of the best in baseball this side of the Dodgers. They didn't go out and get a third baseman. I've yelled about it. I've screamed about it. But that's pretty much where it really ends on being that mad at Hal Steinbrenner. He has a hole at third base, and he hasn't filled it. And we scream he's cheap. We scream he doesn't care about winning. We scream all kinds of stuff about him. The Mets have the richest owner in baseball. The richest owner in baseball, who is, at the moment, universally adored, and no one would say a bad word about him. And I'm not saying you should. But Clay Holmes, McGill, Griffin Canning, David Peterson, Kodai Senga. That's the starting rotation for the richest owner in baseball. Now, you could tell me, well, that's smart because pitchers get hurt, and they do. We just saw, what's his name with Tampa Bay, go down again. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, thankfully, it seems like it's just a nerve issue, and they don't expect him to be gone too long. But, I mean, the White Sox have six different pitchers having Tommy John surgery. So I understand pitchers get hurt. And we'll see how good they are. We'll see what this rotation looks like. I know the minimization of the starting pitcher and how important the bullpen is. And it's only once every fifth or sixth day in the case of the New York Mets. And last year, they pulled rabbits out of the hat on almost at every turn in the rotation. They're good at this. They've worked at this. In David Stearns, we trust. It's how he kind of built Milwaukee. All of it's fair. But I'm just saying, we go nuts about not having a third baseman for the New York Yankees, and the richest owner in baseball is throwing out not a single true ace in a five-man staff. Now, will they become one? We'll see. A converted reliever, a career up and down major league or minor leaguer in McGill, Griffin Canning, who might have been the worst starter in all of baseball to make 30 starts last year, David Peterson, who's pitched very well for them over the course of his career, never overly great, was terrific in the second half of last year, and Kodai Senga, who's got filthy stuff but hasn't been able to stay healthy for a year. That's the rotation as you open the season for a team trying to compete in that National League with the richest owner in baseball. I'm not killing it. I'm just posing a question. Are we okay with the richest owner in baseball putting relatively no money for premium talent into the rotation? Are we okay with converted relievers and failed starters who we see a promise in, who we think the lab can fix? Are we okay with it? Does he care about winning? Is he cheap? Because Hal doesn't pick up a third baseman, and he's a cheap SOB who doesn't care about winning, and it's only about chicken buckets and making it to the playoffs, and that's it. The Mets don't have a signature name in their rotation, have invested hardly anything into it. We'll see if it might very well work and be the smartest thing they do. Not saying that's not a possibility. It's what happened last year. But I'm just curious if we're all okay with how the Mets have handled this rotation. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Big disappointment. They had a great season, yeah, but it would have been nice to go a little further. And UConn got bounced yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida is just a very good team. Getting to the Yankees. You can't. If you're going to call Hal cheap, then what about Steve Cohen being very cheap? No pitchers in starting rotation that have made any impact on being an all-star. Have they? Has any of those pitchers made the all-star team? With the Mets.
I'm sorry, one more time? Did any of these guys
have
make the All-Star team?
Have any of the Mets starters made the All-Star team?
Have any of the current Mets starters made the All-Star team? I don't know. I don't. Well, Clay Holmes has as a reliever.
Yeah, but I'm saying a starter. No, they have not. And the Yankee fans go and scream about not getting a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We got to keep our mouths shut because you want to know what? We offered him almost the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, it was about the money. That's what it was about. Stevie gave him the luxury box for the family. He bent over backwards, and the contract is over $800 million. Over $800 million he gave him with everything included.
Yeah.
So, Yankee fans, be quiet, please, including myself. I'm going to be
there
quiet.
You go.
Because you want to know something? He tried his best. He went out on... I would never have thought he would have offered him 760.
I agree, and I'm with you, Stu, and I think, and thank you for the call, I think most Yankee fans are kind of okay with where he went for Juan Soto. I mean, I think most are somewhat okay with it. Like, I wish he would have done more. I don't care. Like, to me, like, you're going to tell Judge, how do we tell Judge that we're going to give him a suite? How do you tell Judge you're going to double his contract? Like, I mean, what's the difference? Like, I would have given him a suite. I don't care. I would have given him whatever he wanted to come back. I would have. And I'm disappointed they didn't. I don't think it would have mattered. I don't think it was about the suite. I mean, I just think it's not even so much that I think it was nothing but the money. I really don't. And I've said that from day one. I came on the night he signed, and I said he chose the Mets. I don't think that's fair. The money was close enough where, on some level, he chose the Mets. I just find it odd that they are bending over backwards, Juan Soto included, the Mets. You are bending over backwards to give you every other reason but the money. It's the last thing they want to talk about. Every other thing, like the Yankees signed CC Sabathia. The Yankees signed Gerrit Cole. Like, yeah, okay, he showed up at the poster, but we all knew they were West Coast guys. CC Sabathia came for the money. No one, when CC Sabathia signed here, nobody said, like, oh, yeah, no, I always dreamt of being a Yankee, or they, you know, Brian Cashman walked in and immediately felt like family, and he, you know, he brought my wife her favorite candies. How did he know what my wife's favorite candies? Like, I mean, we all know why. They gave him more money than anybody else, and he came to the Yankees. Again, I do think he chose the Mets. I do think there's a reason. I do think his family and him had a connection with Alex Cohen's wife and felt welcome there. And there are a lot more Latin players as well. And, you know, the team's future with Steve Cohen willing to spend. Like, I think that's all part of it. I'm not trying to say it's not. I'm just saying we're running from the idea that the money had something to do with it. And my comments about the rotation, honestly, it's my shill Yankee fan talking a little bit, because I feel like one owner is getting nothing but praise and the other one's getting killed for being cheap when the money's relatively close. And, you know, the Yankees pivoted off the lineup. It's not like they could have done much better offensively. I mean, could they have signed Alex Bregman for $40 million a year? Could they have signed, you know, they tried to trade for Justin Tucker. I guess they should have traded Luis Gil if that was on the table. But, like, Bellinger was about the best player available. There wasn't a lot. What, you want Santander here? There wasn't a lot of great offensive options. They went out and got, arguably, the best player on the free agent market after Juan Soto, Max Fried. I think Fried and Burns were right there. Burns is probably a little bit better. But, like, he pivoted. And I feel like they got it. I feel like they did as good a job as you can do with Plan B. Plan B always sucked to me. But I feel like the Yankees did pretty much as good as you can with Plan B. Other than going out and getting a third baseman. And I've yelled at it too, but it's cheap. He's cheap. He doesn't care about winning. And the owner of the Mets is the greatest thing ever, signing everybody. I mean, it's amazing what he's doing here. He spent a little bit more money than the Yankees and is putting out a rotation with no real names in it. And maybe it's the best way to go about it, and it'll end up being the best thing they did. And they'll be more flexible moving forward. And sure, that's all possible. But I'm just saying, how come one has the moniker of being a cheap bastard and the other one's the savior? And the money's relatively the same as far as the luxury tax goes. And the Yankees don't have a shortstop, but the Mets don't have an ace. I mean, the Yankees don't have a third baseman, but the Mets don't have an ace. And everybody's cool with it. And it's not even just frustration with the Yankee fan. It's that they don't care about winning. John in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Yeah, it's, you know, this is not a complicated thing. The Yankee nonstop propaganda backed them into a corner. The only thing that makes any sense is if they make and win the World Series. Otherwise, they're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets don't have that burden.
I think they do now. Simple. You don't think they do now?
No, not nearly. Because it's still the Mets and not the Yankees. The 27 championships. Nowhere to go. Everything for the Yankees now, everything is you either win the World Series or you're a failure, which is not nearly true. And I'm a Mets fan, but the fact is they backed themselves into a corner by, you know, all the pomp and circumstance that never stops. And the Yankees...
Well, how does it never stop? Because they're not... I mean, the Yankees aren't promoting that anymore. George did. When this owner doesn't... I mean, they talk about it's, you know, World Series or a failure, I guess, but there's real no pomp and circumstance about the Yankees, you know, winning World Series or busting.
They just lost their ace. They lost Stanton.
Yeah.
I don't know who else they lost. And people still talk about them like they're going to win a division. No problem.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, they still have a good team compared to some of the other teams in the division. Yeah, they lost their ace. Who's the best? McClanahan just went down for the Rays. Like, who's got a maybe the Red Sox? Who's got a better rotation in the division?
Well, let's look at it the other way. If the same exact thing happened to the Mets, would they be saying about the Mets, or would they be saying the Mets?
Technically, they have lost their ace for the first month of the season. We'll see. Mania,
right,
you could argue
they're going to win the division.
Oh, I think a lot of, well, one, the division's tougher. That's the difference, though. The difference is the Yankees won the division last year. The Mets did not. The difference is the division is a hell of a lot easier than the Phillies and the Braves. If the Mets were in the AL East, people would be predicting them to win the division. The Mets are in a tough division. But I disagree with you. I think you're getting there. Where, I mean, there's degrees of failure, and maybe the Met fan still has that ability to have a little bit of degrees, I suppose. Like, if you lose a hard-fought seven-game series to the Dodgers, you know, lose a 3-2 game seven in L.A. of the NLCS, could you be that upset? I mean, it's starting to get to the point where it's World Series or bust. Nothing else is a success. I think there's just levels of failure. There's no more success. Last year was a success. Falling behind 11 games under 500, working their way back, having the best rotation in baseball the second half, the best team in baseball the second half, getting into the playoffs, beating the Braves in that first game of the doubleheader, hitting the home run, the miraculous home run to beat the Brewers, beating the Phillies and losing to the Dodgers in the NLCS was a success. There's only one way to succeed now for the New York Mets. Only one way. Win the World Series. Anything else is a failure. I still think the Mets and their fan base could be in a position to have degrees of failure where there are none with the Yankee fan. That's it. Failure. Embarrassing failure. Doesn't matter they made the World Series. Failure, failure, failure. Stinking failure. Where the Mets can lose to the Dodgers and still feel like, hey, let's say they win the division, they win 103 games, they have this great run, right? They win the NLDS going away, they beat the Padres or they beat the Braves or they beat the Phillies again, and then they get to the Dodgers, hard-fought series, all the way to Game 7, lose on a walk-off home run from Shohei Ohtani, you go, hey, we just gave the best team and the super team a run for their money. It took them late into the Game 7 to beat us. Maybe you could live with that kind of failure, where the Yankees won't. Yankees could take the Dodgers to Game 7 of the World Series, and Shohei Ohtani could hit a walk-off home run in the ninth inning to lose the game 2-1, and the Yankee fans will be failure. I can't wait to see what they do next year to fail again. Where the Met fan might be able to have degrees of failure. But there is no success anymore. There's only one way to succeed. There is no positive season. There is no good season. There is no successful season without winning the World Series. That goes for both teams now. But the Mets do have what even the Yankee fans should have, which is degrees of failure.
This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 340, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. All right, we've opened up to a little bit of baseball as the season starts. We've got Carlos Rodon. We'll get to the Yankees pitching as well because their rotation right now is in disarray as well. Obviously, Carlos Rodon starting game one, Max Fried starting game two on Saturday, followed by Stroman, followed by Will Warren, who made the team. And then they will find time for Carrasco at some point. Oh, whether it's going to be 5, 6, 7, because with the days off, you don't need a fifth starter. So that's where they're going with, hopefully, Clark Schmidt on the mend and getting built up and should be with them relatively soon to knock, I would think, Will Warren out of the rotation and send him back to the minor leagues. But The season starts on Thursday. Carlos Rodon against the Milwaukee Brewers and Clay Holmes against those hated Astros. And if you think I'm not rooting for the Mets and Clay Holmes, you're crazy. 888-808-1019. J.C. Escara makes the team as the backup catcher. Had an incredible spring. This is a guy with an incredible story. Was a Uber driver, was a substitute teacher. The Yankees put out a video where they messed with him like they did with Anthony Volpe a couple years ago. Boone sits him down and gives him the old, you know, now you know, look, we got a lot of catching depth, and you know, we you have options, and I know you had a great spring, and this is one of the harder conversations I have to have, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, well, you made the team. Then there's a video of him, and I'll say this, I don't want to be a jerk. I really don't want to be a jerk. Believe it or not, despite killing the Mets and disrespecting elderly callers. I do have to say that I don't know. I know it's a nice thing, and I liked watching the video. There's a video where he calls his mother, right? I mean, this is a lifelong journey. This guy was, again, driving an Uber. This guy was playing, you know, independent baseball. This guy was substitute teaching. This guy was trying to make ends meet doing anything he could while he was chasing his dream of becoming a Major League Baseball player, and he just caught it. I mean, it's an amazing moment, an incredible moment, and I love the Boone thing because that's Yankee-related. But, like, I don't know. When he calls his mom, and it's an emotional phone call, and it's really nice to see, and I love the guy, and I'll be rooting for him. And I'm so happy he got that moment. But, like, does the Yankee PR team or camera team need to sit there? I don't know. Am I weird? Am I weird for thinking that? Like, go ahead, make the phone call. We're going to record it. Like, can he have that moment? Does it have to be filmed? I'm glad I got to see it. So, I mean, I'm not going to yell about it or think it wasn't an invasion of privacy or anything. But, like, I don't know. I'm just sitting there, like, as the guy's making the phone call, like, who's holding this camera watching it? Like, I don't know. Let him have that moment to himself. The Boone thing I get. But I'm so happy for him. He's had an incredible spring. I wish he was a right-handed hitter. He's a left-handed hitter. But he's shown he can catch, which was their main fear. He's absolutely killed the baseball in spring. And he's going to be the backup catcher to Wells, who's hit as well. So, I mean, we'll see if the catching position is a major upgrade over last year. It just struggled offensively, couldn't get going until the second half with Wells. So I honestly think the Yankee lineup could be a lot better than people think. I'm starting to get excited for this Yankee lineup. I like the dynamic of it. I do. It's deeper than last year, and I think they could do a lot of different things. They're missing the second great player, there's no doubt. That's why it probably won't be as productive as last year's team, but I do think 6, 7, 8, 9 can be a hell of a lot better than last year, a hell of a lot more productive, and a lot more exciting on the base paths. A lot more exciting with hit and runs and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to the season. I am. Looking forward to it. I know we all are. Should be a big baseball year. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're barely hanging in there, you know.
I know.
But let's touch on a few things, you know. Say, you know, Jameis Winston, I have no problem with that. But how long you're going to go with them for, and you know how long you'll if they take a quarterback before they put them in.
I think they'll definitely draft a quarterback. You know, I feel that way, Eddie. And I would think that with Jameis Winston, I talked about this. With Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they do it at all as long as they're even close to being in it. Like Kurt Warner famously with Eli Manning, they were 5-4 after 9. Now they were 5-2, I think. Lost 2 games in a row and weren't playing that well at the time, but still, they were 5-4 and still in it, and they decided to go to Eli Manning. If Aaron Rodgers is 5-4, there's no way in hell they're pulling him. Jameis Winston, right. There's a possibility, even if they're a 5-4, 5-5, even 4-5 and still in the hunt, there is a chance they would pull him for the backup quarterback, for the drafted quarterback. There is a chance they would do that. I don't know, because this owner is so desperate for wins, I think he'd be afraid to let them do that, but at least there's a chance that you could see this quarterback halfway through the year, no matter how good the year is.
All right. Let's paint the scenario. Let's play the scenario game.
Okay.
which
it's your favorite game. Come on, everybody, right, and play the scenario game with Eddie and Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
There you go.
Let's go.
Very good, Chris. You know what's better, Chris? You got the Academy Award.
I did.
When I asked you a little question about with Pat Boyle about the bike race,
yes,
and you went, "It's my son's Holy Communion."
That's right.
Been,
that's
that
right.
Was perfect.
That's true. I could see that could be,
Chris,
like a Godfather
Chris,
thing,
listen,
right?
Listen, long as you're on, no one's going to question your Mother Goosen or your kids or anything. So you don't have to throw them all.
I've already got
a
question. Yeah, no. Brett thinks I'm a bad father because I let them wear Kansas City Chiefs jerseys. So I don't say I haven't been questioned.
I didn't hear that. But when I don't get in the draft,
yes,
right? All these the experts, they got, you know, Cam going to Tennessee, and then they got Cleveland going after the edge rusher or something. Why wouldn't Cleveland go after a quarterback?
I don't know how they feel about them. They're in a weird situation with the contract that they owe to Watson.
Well, he's only to the 20. He's only to two, I think signed to 2026. But let's get to my scenario game. Say the Giants don't take a quarterback and is not going to take a quarterback in the first two rounds.
Okay.
What positions do you want them to address? You don't have to give me players.
In the first two rounds, what positions do I want them to address?
Yeah.
If they don't take the quarterback in the first two rounds,
that's
third
the scenario.
Pick. Okay. Well, the third pick is easy. The third pick is I want one of the two players then. If it's their choice, I really don't care which one. I that's not true. I guess I prefer Carter. I'd rather have the edge rusher. I know Hunter can be both offensive and defensive a little bit. I still think I'd rather have Carter. I think that plays better in today's NFL. So
where are you gonna put him?
On the field.
You got Burns and you got.
No, but I could play him at inside linebacker. I could play him wherever. Thibodeau, you play him wherever. He's a great player. You play him wherever. Lawrence Taylor, you want to go through the linebacking core that the Giants had when they drafted Lawrence Taylor? Like, you pick the great player and you put him there. That's it. So for me, with the third pick, it's either Hunter or him if they're available. Obviously, if they take the quarterback, both are available. Cleveland, if Cleveland doesn't take the, under this scenario, if they pass on Shedeur Sanders and take a player, I would want them to take one of those two, whichever one's left. And then with the third pick, I mean, it's what positions do I want? I want them to take the best player available because that's where the roster is, quite honestly. The roster is not talented enough.
Offensive line,
if they can.
Right. I would like to trade down a little bit if I can. If I can't, I'm going after the 6'4 wide receiver because, you know what, as soon as they didn't team up the defensive tackle with another one, he's been kind of like laundering. So I got to put another number one right next to Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going defensive tackle because it's deep on the second. But my jet pick has to be the Alabama quarterback. That's the sleeper. If the Jets grab the Alabama quarterback, take a look at this kid.
Milroe?
He is dynamic. I think maybe a little bit more dynamic than Cam, in between Cam and Sanders.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why they have Cam above Sanders, but that's another thing coming.
Yeah, I think Cam is a little bit... I think his arm is a little bit stronger. I do think he can move a little bit inside the pocket better than... I think he's a little bit better of an athlete, believe it or not, being Deion Sanders' son. And... I think he's got a little bit more of the tools. Sanders is a little bit more polished. Sanders is a little bit more accurate, although in the half game of the Pop-Tart Bowl, I know people want to talk about him leaving halftime. Did you see the first half? He was pinpoint accurate in that game, Ward. And I thought, I was listening to Art Stapleton coming in, and he made a good point. Like right now, everybody is picking apart Sanders. Like, everybody is looking for every reason why he's not going to be the guy. Sanders this, Sanders that. No one has said anything about Cam Ward in a long time. And Cam Ward's pro day is today. So Cam Ward is going to throw for teams today, and maybe we'll see some things. I'm sure there'll be footage of him running one way and throwing the ball the other, and everyone's going to get all excited. But we haven't heard any of the flaws of Cam Ward's game yet. For whatever reason, I think people want to pick apart Sanders because of who his father is. I don't think that's that. There's that much separating them. I really don't. I like Cam a little bit better. I am not a quarterback guru. I am not a, you know, I'm not, I think both are talented enough quarterbacks to be the leader of a franchise. I think Cam is a little bit. Now, you know, guys like Jackson Dart and Milroe, you know, Milroe is an incredible athlete, right? And he has the tool set to be a great player in this league. I don't know if he's ready to be that. There are some issues with his throwing, but yeah, I mean, that's a guy, like to me, yeah, if the Giants are in the third or fourth round, even if they've taken the quarterback, I don't mind taking another one. This is your life, man. This is the lifeblood of a franchise. Take Milroe. If Milroe is sitting there in the fourth round, third round if they didn't take a quarterback yet, absolutely. Fourth round even if they've taken Sanders, I don't care. Give me a legitimate chance to have two young. Let's see. Give me a better chance to have one of them hit. We've seen it before. Washington did it, right? What round was Kirk Cousins after RG3 was taken at the top of the draft? Kirk Cousins was what, a fourth or a fifth round pick? Ended up being the starting quarterback for the teams, has ended up making a ton of money in this league. I have no problem with that. Take two quarterbacks in this draft. Jackson Dart is someone who hasn't really had a pro offense. They kind of made him a one-read guy. They took away half the field. Again, I was listening to Art. They talked about this, too. I was watching it on ESPN. They talk about the worriness you have about Jackson Dart and the kind of offense he played at Ole Miss and converting it to the NFL. I don't care. I mean, I guess I do care, but my point is I'll take him, too, at some point in the draft. Like, whatever, I'm fully on board with what Brian Daboll and Joe Shane think. That's it. I'm fully on board with their. This is why they were hired. This is what they do. Let me see what they do. But I definitely need a quarterback drafted, and preferably in the first two rounds, because then that shows a bit of urgency into playing that kid. But to get back to the Jameis Winston point, yeah, at any moment they could go to the young quarterback with Jameis Winston making $4 million, having the career he's already had. Absolutely, even with a win, even at 5-4, like Kurt Warner was with the Giants before they went to Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers, you were never going to do that to Aaron Rodgers, ever. Jameis Winston, you can do it to. But, I don't know if that's even possible because this owner is so desperate for wins. Can you imagine telling the owner, hey, I know we're 5-4, I know we're in the hunt, and I know if we play this out, we'll at least have a season where we're in the mix till the bitter end, but we think it's best to go with the young quarterback and lose games. I don't know how he's going to take that. On a different season, on a different year, clearly they were okay with it in 05 with Eli Manning and Kurt Warner. I don't know if they'd be okay with it now, not after all the losing they've done, not after where the fan base is. If they're winning games and scoring points with Jameis Winston, I have a hard time thinking they're going to go to the young rookie. I have a hard time thinking. They would have to, you know, I think they'd have to be losing games with Jameis Winston before they would go to this rookie. I think they'd have to be eliminated from playoff contention before they go to the rookie. 888-808-1019, but they have to draft a quarterback. That's the plain truth of it. I will be so disappointed if the New York Giants do not draft a quarterback in the top two rounds. I'll be extremely disappointed. That has to happen. They have to take a legitimate pick and a legitimate chance and legitimate, you know, decision on a quarterback, investment, where you know, hey, this is the guy. It's a first-round pick. It's a second-round pick. They're going to give him a chance to be the guy. Third, you know, Davis Webb was a third-round pick. You don't have third, fourth-round picks. They're flyers. I don't want a flyer quarterback. I want the future quarterback.